Chairs No Waiting, episode number 779, Andy the Matchmaker. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out all the cool things they have related to the Andy Griffith Show. You can get a wooden Mayberry Deputy Badge magnet that'll stick right there on your refrigerator. And if you don't feel like you should be a deputy but want to be a sheriff, you can get that too. So head over there and check it out. And while you're there, you might want to get some of Ernest T's prettiest rocks. They're little soft rocks that you can squeeze, but you can throw them at people. I'm not recommending it, but head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 779 are the attendees of the Mayberry Meetup from last year, 2023. And the Patreon patron of the week is Brian Rose. So, Brian, thank you. And all the folks that attended the meetup last year and helped raise some money that keeps this podcast going, thank you all as well. Thank you for being here as well. It's always fun to spend time here in Mayberry with you. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and it's always fun to be here. And we've been going through episodes from the Andy Griffith Show this year in 2024. We kind of started doing that, and I'm doing them in the filmed order, not the aired order. So they're a little bit out of order from what you'd probably see them aired. But the reason that is because that's the way they're listed and the episode guide that you can find if you go to the Mayberry Historical Society. So that is the place you want to go, is the Mayberry Historical Society. There's all kinds of cool Andy Griffith Show information there. It's basically a wiki like Wikipedia, if you haven't been there. And you can go there and go to the episode guide. And when you get the episode guide, you can look at all the episodes of the Andy Griffith Show listed out there. And it'll take you right to the information that we're going to go over about Andy the Matchmaker. This is so you guys know this episode. You know all about it. I know you do. So I'm going to get us a little bit of background music just to make my voice easier for you to take. There we go. Just a little bit underneath music just to make it easier to listen to me talk for the next several minutes. So Andy the Matchmaker was the ninth episode of the Andy Griffith Show that was filmed, but it was the seventh one aired. It aired originally on November the 14th, 1960. The writer was Arthur Sander, and the director was Don Wise. I did look it up finally, and that is how you say it. It's Wise, not Weiss. It's Wise. So that is the director's name. Folks, this episode, I know you've seen this. It's basically, the show's very first try at finding Barney a girlfriend. We've seen that, the very first episode of Barney trying to get a girlfriend or something there in Mayberry. And he's brought together with Miss Rosemary after Andy basically tricks him into declaring himself for her. So you guys remember that, right? You remember that part of the show. Well, let's go into a little bit more detail, and we've got some odd facts known by a few. We've got a voicemail. We got some trivia. We got another little announcement about an event coming up this year that I think you'll enjoy. And so let's get this thing going here. So at the beginning of this episode, Barney is humiliated by a piece of graffiti that he sees written on the wall. And Barney decides to turn in his badge because, you know, there's just a lack of real crime. He's not motivated. He's just tired of this. People are making fun of him. It's not his fault that there's no crime in Mayberry. It's not his fault. You know, if folks could at least come in there and steal something, maybe kill somebody. And he goes, Barney. Well, not anybody we know, but if he's going to kill somebody, at least they could come here and do it. So Andy basically says, you know, they could put out a ad or something about this, but they don't. Basically, anyway, Barney is turning in his badge, his pencil, one badge, one pencil, you know, one tie clip, one hat, one bullet. You know, he's turning in all this stuff. He turns in his his whistle. You know, you replaced the P in there, but he didn't want to charge Andy for that part. You know, but he's laying it all out there on the table because he's just disgusted that he's still being made fun of. And not only just made fun of, but he was made fun of by Andy's own son. That's right. He saw Opie with a piece of chalk in his hand. But, you know, but basically Opie ended up telling him or telling that, you know, he didn't do it. You know, and of course, Andy believed him, and you know, Barney was upset about that too. So you're going to believe your own son? What do you believe? And he said, well, first off, you know, he's Opie wouldn't lie to me. And second off, he don't know how to write yet. Barney. So Barney was still upset, but, you know, Opie basically claimed that it wasn't him who wrote it on the wall. It was some big kids. And when they saw Barney coming, they shoved the chalk into his hand and ran off. But that really didn't help Barney. He was upset because people are making fun of him because there's nothing going on in Mayberry. By the way, what was written on the wall? There once was a deputy named Fife who carried a gun and a knife. The gun was all dusty and the knife was all rusty. Because he never caught a crook in his life. So, folks are making fun of poor Barney. Because, I mean, there's no crime. What's he supposed to do? So, basically, he was still going to give up being... he was just going to give it all up. He just couldn't do it. Eventually, Miss Rosemary came into the courthouse. And she basically, because she was there, Barney was kind of sweet on her. He decided, you know, well, you know, he's got to protect the city and the town. And so he goes back and goes on patrol. But Andy's still thinking about this. And he was really not able to really change Barney's mind or how he felt. So he decides to stage a robbery at Rocker's Drugstore. Andy believes it'll help give Barney back his confidence, and you know, it'll also encourage Barney to feel confident enough to ask out Miss Rosemary or something. So he thinks that'll work. So basically, he ends up with Miss Ellie and Opie's help. They decide that they'll make Barney believe that there has been a robbery of $24 from the Walker's Drugstore. So Barney comes roaring in there. And he has his fingerprint set. That's right. He has a fingerprint set. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, I thought he wanted a fingerprint set in the Cali Is Van Telecki episode. But he actually wished for a new fingerprint set. So he mentions in this particular episode that he's had it for 2 years and he's never got to use it. But, you know, maybe he used it from time to time after that. But in this particular episode, he's going to use his powder because powder will make the fingerprints just stand right out, and he starts kind of slinging it all around, and he actually gets it all over himself. I don't know if I was actually watching this on a Blu-ray disc, and so the picture quality was so good. I don't know that I had ever really paid that much attention to how much powder that Barney actually got on himself, but he had a lot of powder from the fingerprint set all over his face. And his tie, his shirt, everywhere, when he decided to go in and do the fingerprints. But he backed off of that and decided, nope, okay. There's lots of, you know, I can figure out some other ways to find this out. So he left. He left Walker's and went out to try to find the criminal. So that's what happened. And not only did he find a criminal when no crime had actually been no crime had actually happened. There was no crime. And Opie knew it, Miss Ellie knew it, and Andy knew it. But Barney comes walking in with a fella that, Barney said was the one who robbed the drugstore. So, as we know, Opie tried to correct the situation. And Andy would not let him speak. He said, and he sent him out the door, basically got him out the door to head over to Walker's to get him, I think, something to drink or something like that. But he got him out of there, and Barney was just insistent that Andy look into this fella because he was just sure that he was the one that had robbed the Walker's drugstore. His name the name he gave was Tracy Crawford. And he said he was from Chattanooga. And so Andy ended up calling the sheriff of Chattanooga. And while he was on the phone, he described the man, Tracy Crawford, his size, his weight, and everything. And the sheriff recognized the description and the fact that Tracy Crawford was an alias for this particular man. And he was wanted for five worse crimes than taking $24 from Walker's drugstore. So they had to drop those charges so they could extradite him to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And turns out Barney caught a man who was actually committed, who were wanted for five crimes that were worse than stealing at a store. So Barney got his confidence back, and Andy assured him this will be written up in the newspaper. So sure enough, and 2 days later, is what he said, the newspaper would be out. And Barney brought the newspaper by Andy's house and showed it to him. It said, "Deputy Sheriff Barney Fife cracks Walker robbery." That's right. "Dangerous criminal captured single-handed through the clever sleuthing of our local deputy." So Barney was so excited about that, that he basically started feeling like maybe he could just wait about asking Miss Rosemary out. Because there's lots of other fish in the sea. And so Miss Rosemary happened to right then be dropped by Andy's house, because she had promised that she'd bring him a pie. And so she did. And while she was there, Andy said, "Well, Miss Rosemary has made clear to me recently that I no longer have to be silent." And he basically started to ask Miss Rosemary out. And then Barney was like, "Wait a minute, she's spoken for." And she's, "I am?" Well, he said he'd been spending all those Sundays walking into church. And Andy said, "Well, I thought it was because you said it was on your way." He said, "Not if I take the shortcut." So so basically, Andy tricks Barney into asking Miss Rosemary out. And so Barney kind of does ask her, and then Miss Rosemary proceeds to not really answer. And in the end, she reaches her hand out, and she and Barney shake hands on the deal. And I suppose they finally went out on their date. So that is the basic story of the Andy the Matchmaker. So he matched these folks up. So, folks, we got some odd facts known by few that are related to this episode. In this particular episode, this is the first time on camera or on film that we actually see Barney submit his resignation. It's the first time we know of that he resigned from the force, which, you know, it happens other times, and Andy pulls out past events at some point on an episode. Miss Rosemary makes her first appearance, and it's her only appearance. She was played by Amzie Strickland. This was her only appearance as Miss Rosemary on the Andy Griffith Show, but she would appear later in the series as various other characters. So she did appear more than this one time, but this was the only time we ever saw Miss Rosemary. So Barney didn't date her very long at all. So anyway, Aunt B doesn't appear in this episode. This was the first episode that Aunt B was absent, that we just didn't see her. She was probably in the house when Andy and Barney were out on the front porch there at the end of the episode, but we didn't see her. She wasn't seen. This is one of the four episodes that we actually get to see the DC-269 tag on the front of the Mayberry patrol car. The others we've already kind of think talked about: Opie's Charity, Ellie Comes to Town, Andy the Matchmaker, this one, and A Feud is a Feud from last week. Those are the four episodes where we see DC-269 as the tag number rather than the more common JL-327. So just a little tidbit for you. This is the only episode that they mention the snappy lunch. And that's at about the 22-minute mark. If you're watching it on a DVD or a Blu-ray, it's about 22 minutes into the episode, they mention the snappy lunch. Now, just in case you don't know, the snappy lunch was and is an actual restaurant in Andy Griffith's hometown of Mount Airy, North Carolina. And it's the only Mount Airy business to be mentioned on the show. At least that's what I believe to be true. One of you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. They are famous for their pork chop sandwiches. And so if you're ever in Mount Airy, North Carolina, drop by. You got to do it before about 2 or 3:30. I can't remember. 2:30, I think. You got to do it before then and get you a pork chop sandwich. I recommend all the way at the Snappy Lunch. Now, I will say, the very first time I ever saw one of those sandwiches, I did not really think I would like it. But wow, it's really good. It's very good. So pork chop sandwich all the way is the specialty at the Snappy Lunch, which was mentioned on this here episode of the Andy Griffith Show. Actor Jack Mann. Jack Mann is the man who played Tracy Crawford. Now, Tracy Crawford, we don't know the actual character's name. Tracy Crawford was identified as being an alias for this person. But Jack Mann started his career as a stand-up comic, believe it or not. He appeared with Andy and Don in the movie No Time for Sergeants in 1958 as well. So there's you another little bit of odd facts known by a few. Let's see here. After Barney reads the poem, Andy can be seen trying not to laugh because Barney had written down the poem that Opie had supposedly written on the wall so as evidence. But Andy, he does start to laugh, and he ends up walking away, heading towards the jail cells with his back to Barney, because, I mean, it is pretty funny, I gotta admit. So in this episode, we actually find out that Andy's favorite kind of pie, at least he tells Miss Rosemary this, is blueberry. Blueberry pie, that's what he says. All right, and the final little bit of trivia I have for you is there are calendars hanging in the courthouse. There's one in the jail cell that we can kind of see, but not completely. And there's one in the back room we can actually see. Now, I actually blew this thing up so I could see it better. And just so you guys know, it is a calendar from, I do believe, the one in the back room is a calendar from 19... Let's see, I got to get this right. The inside one of the cells, there's a calendar. Let me go with that one first. So in the cell, there's a calendar, and the month falls, the first of the month falls on a Sunday. The best guess would be that it's from December 1957, because that is a month that would have started on the first, and it's 31 days on a Monday. And the reason I'm saying that is because the one in the back room, the one I blew up and looked at closer, is almost 100% sure it's from January 1957, and it's hanging there on the wall. The calendar displays to the right. There's little calendars. You have a big, you see a calendar and have the main month right there, and then you got little months beside it, so you can see last month and the month after, the month before and the month after. Well, you can definitely tell that the month after the main month is February. So the month right above it would have been December of 1956 and February of 1957. So this is a January 1957 calendar hanging on the wall. Now, they blocked it out pretty good where you really couldn't tell for sure when it was, but that's something they do on television shows and movies so they can try to keep you from realizing exactly when this show was supposed to have been. So there you go. So that's a little bit of trivia for you, that the one hanging in the back room and in the back room back there is a calendar from 1957 showing the month of January. So there you go. All right. Woo, boy, you guys learned some real important information here, right here on this show. I'll tell you. Some trivial trivialities for you to have enjoyed, and I hope you did enjoy that. That is our review of Andy the Matchmaker. I looked around to see if there was any other information. There was a little bit of tidbits, but nothing that wonderful. But if you would really like to go in deep into all the things you see, now you can head over to the iMayberry. I mean, not iMayberry. You can go over to mayberry.info, the website, and all this information we just went over is basically already posted there. There's additional information about every little scene that happened during this particular episode found in the book called The Mayberry Rerun Watcher's Guide by our very own Spirit Walker. It's from season one, that particular one. And he has all the stuff about Andy the Matchmaker, and it goes through scenes and who's seen first, each scene of the episode, you know, like being in the courthouse from Main Street and just all kinds of different things here. He says things in here like Barney labels himself a trained noticer. Now, we did hear that in this particular episode. He says that Miss Rosemary wears different colored shirt waist every Sunday morning when Barney walks her to church. By the way, a shirt waist is a woman's blouse that resembles a shirt with a collar and buttons. That's what I mean. He has all that kind of information about this episode in here, along with a little bit of trivialities as well. So all the episodes from season one are in this book, and you can get it over at Weavers. It's very, very worth getting if you don't have it. Thank you, Spirit Walker, who has been a contributor here on the podcast and is always got great information. So he did that book, and I just wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out for that. All right, folks, I have got a ad for you, or a little presentation about an upcoming event that I hope you will enjoy.
Oh, man. Oh, this year is a busy one. Oh, it is busy. Yeah. Oh, there's events happening all over the place. Oh, one of them that's coming up pretty soon here is, let's see, there's one in, it's in May. May the 8th through the 10th. It's called the Mayberry Retreat. Oh, and it's hosted by author Randy Turner. Oh, he's a good guy. Yeah. Oh, he's a good guy. You want to hear him? Yeah. It's going to be held at the beautiful Saunder Heritage Inn in Archibald, Ohio. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like I'd like to go there. That'd be fun to go to. Oh, special guest this year is going to be David Browning. David Browning, he portrayed the Mayberry deputy for years and delighted crowds at Mayberry events. Oh, but he's going to be there as himself, telling stories and interviewed by Randy. Oh, it'll be big. Oh, and also, they're going to have a musical guest, Tim White. He's a good one. He's been at Mayberry Days for years with both Troublesome Hollow and before that, the VW Boys. And he's a huge fan. Oh, come out and see us. It should be a low-key weekend, May the 8th through the 10th. Oh, the Mayberry Retreat. You can find out information about it by going to maybearybooks.com/Mayberry Retreat. I think I just might go there myself. I think I might. Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah, I want to do that.
Thank you, Floyd. Hey, all that kind of information, guys, if you head over to imayberry.com and go to the event calendar, it'll take you to the event calendar of Floyd's Barbershop Bulletin Board event calendar. You can scroll down through there and you see all the current events. No matter when you're listening to this, it'll show you show you information about events that are happening currently and are coming up throughout the year. So definitely head over there and check it out, because there's a lot of great information there. I don't want you to miss out on any of these wonderful Mayberry events. It's so much fun. And basically, and truthfully, I am going to be at the Mayberry Retreat. My wife and I are going and can't wait to hear from David Browning. We think that'll be so fun. I hadn't seen David in, a year or two. 2 years probably since I saw him last. So I'm so looking forward to catching up with him and being a part of that. And I just can't wait to see Randy as well. So I did get a voicemail related to last week's episode. So let's go and check that one out as well. And then we'll play some trivia.
Hey, Alan, it is Eric up in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I just wanted to give you a call and tell you what a fantastic job that you always do. It's always a pleasure to hear every episode. Also wanted to make a comment on one of your trivia questions this past week. On A Feud is a Feud, there was a question about the instruments that Barney plays, and I believe you left one out. You named three, but I believe you left out there is a pitch pipe that I believe he used every once in a while, if you count that as an instrument. So just a little something there to throw in food for thought. And also, I know I've mentioned before, but it would be fantastic if you could get Eleanor Donahue to maybe do an interview, kind of like Dennis did, or maybe even Barbara Eden. So those things would be fantastic. I don't know if they would ever work out or not, but if you could reach out and see if those could be possibilities, that would be an amazing show as well. Again, appreciate all that you do. I really appreciated the video, the interview with Dennis. That was fantastic. Anyway, thank you, sir. You have a great, blessed evening.
Wow. Eric, thank you so much. And I would love to be able to interview or at least have them there. So there's a possibility. Maybe we can get a little bit of a note or something from Miss Ellie herself, Eleanor Donahue. I don't know what I can do about Barbara Eden. That would be really fun. I would love to get, I met her once at one of the Mayberry events. I would love to do that. But we do have a slight in with Eleanor that we might at least be able to get a hi, thanks for listening, thanks for everything from me or something from Eleanor. So fingers crossed, guys. Not promising anything on that. But I see in our chat room, it might could happen. So, guys, we have such a fun time with all these cast members, and they have been such a blessing. Just in case you don't know, there are episodes of the podcast, if you go and look for them, that are related to Eleanor, and you can go and check those out as well. They are definitely there. Just go and search the website. And you'll be able to find them. I didn't do that before the show started. I should have probably done that. I'll try to look that up and give you some information about it. But there's information for sure. If you just go and search at the website there and look for Eleanor Donahue, you'll be able to find her episodes. They go all the way back to episode 11. Episode 11 is about her. Episode number 222 is about her at Mayberry Days. There's another one at 632 that was Eleanor Donahue and James Best in Kingsport, Tennessee. So go and check those out. There's a lot of really good interviews with her or information from her directly that you could go and check out in past episodes of Two Chairs, No Waiting. All right. So, and also Eric mentioned the pitch pipe. Now, we will have to refer to Paul Mulick, who is the creator of our trivia, to decide whether that's actually an instrument. I don't know if that's actually an instrument. So I will let him decide. He didn't have it on his list, so we're going to say that must not be an instrument. But speaking of trivia, let's go for it. So here's our trivia for this week. Again, a next part for the trivia. Going out to, I just got handed a note. Eleanor Donahue is also on episode number 313, an interview with Neil Brower. Definitely go check that one out. That's a really good one. Thank you, Mrs. Weaver. Hey, so we got trivia coming up right here. Here we go. This is from Paul Mulick once again. And again, this is musical instruments. We've got five questions. But question number one is worth 4 points. You guys ready? Here we go. Trivia. In addition to guitar, Andy is seen playing 4 other instruments. Can you name all 4? All right, so he just talked about Barney from last week, where we said Barney played 3 different instruments that we saw, and his were basically the harmonica, the bongo drum, and the crash cymbals. So this week, in addition to the guitar, Andy is seen playing 4 other instruments. Can you name all 4? So I'm looking in our chat room and seeing if anybody is throwing out any answers. Don't see them yet, but maybe there's a delay. So here we go. Last time I'm going to read it and start giving you the answers. Andy is seen playing 4 other instruments other than the guitar. Can you name all 4? Can you name all 4? All right, so here are the answers. It's a tuba. We saw that when he was in the band. We see him playing the piano, the organ, and the maracas. Those are instruments, I suppose. Maraca. Ch-ch-ch-ch. So we see him playing a tuba, a piano, an organ, and the maracas. So that was worth 4 points. 1 point each one that you got. So how did you do? All right, how'd you do? Tuba, piano, organ, and maracas. Okay. All right. Question number two, worth 1 point. Who enters the boys at the barber shop? Who entertains the boys at the barber shop by drumming on a wooden chair with drumsticks? I wouldn't have got this ever. Who entertains the boys at the barber shop by drumming on a wooden chair with drumsticks? How are we doing here? Our chat room is not spouting out answers very quickly. But again, there could be some delay going on here that's causing this. But so if you guys would like to be a part of the chat room, by the way, we record on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. If you go to live.2chairsnowaiting.com, you can join in and all the fun. All right, last read, and I'll give you the answers. Who entertains the boys at the barbershop by drumming on a wooden chair with the drumsticks? The answer, and folks are in the chat room getting it, is Burley Peters. Burley Peters is the answer. So did you get it? There's been 5 points so far that you've been able to get. Question number three. What door prize did Opie win at the movie theater? What door prize did Opie win at the movie theater? All right, so think about this here. It's a prize at the movie theater, but remember the topic. So it's probably a musical instrument. What door prize did Opie win at the movie theater? The answer, if you don't know, that's right. Folks in the chat room got it. A bugle. It was a bugle. And it included 10 free lessons, by the way. 10 free bugle lessons along with the bugle. But yes, it was a bugle lesson or bugle with 10 free lessons. Folks in the chat room got that. All right. Let's see. What are we on? Number four. We got two questions more. This one and one more. Number four. What is the name of Freddie Fleet's new trumpet player? What's the name of Freddie Fleet's new trumpet player? It's really just his trumpet player. I guess he's new. But what is his name? What's the name of Freddie Fleet's trumpet player? All right. Anybody got it? This one's a little bit hard. You may or may not have realized his name. Folks in the chat room are getting it. What is the name of Freddie Fleet's new trumpet player? His name is Phil Skunkel. Phil Skunkel. You remember the trip? I thought I was playing it quaint. That guy. You know, he had the blueberry on his chin from blueberry, eating blueberry pie. That's what they said. All right, our last question. What instrument? Okay, if you don't get this, you got to go back and watch all the episodes of this podcast from the start to now. Okay, got to go back. All right, here's the last question. What instrument does Briscoe Darling play? Whoa, slow. All right, don't yell it out. Don't yell it out to everybody. What instrument does Briscoe Darling play? I don't want to give you a lot of time on this. I think everybody's getting this one. And if you didn't, I'm very disappointed. You got to go back and watch all the episodes and rewatch all the IndyCriff show too. Briscoe Darling's instrument is a jug. He plays a jug. Hopefully you got that, and hopefully you don't have to go back and do remedial Andy Griffith show watching and podcast listening. So hopefully you got that and you're ready to go. Folks, I hope you had a good time. That's the main thing. Hopefully the things I was talking about throughout the episode made you smile and remembering and laughing about it. These trivia questions, I hope they do the same thing for you. I want to thank Paul Mulick for sending in these questions. We've got some more questions for next week that he's done, and he claims that they're extra easy. So we'll see. And looking at it, I do believe he may be telling the truth. So we've got some extra easy trivia coming up next week as well. So if you felt bad this week, just come back next week and we'll catch up. So guys, hey, thanks for being here. I'd love to hear from you. I want to thank Eric for taking time to call in. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. And I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Or you can drop by 2chairsnowaiting.com. There's all kinds of different ways there that you can reach out and let me know what you think. And give me some feedback about if you what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy. If the trivia is too hard, too easy. If you're enjoying going through these episodes, let me know. And we'll remind you. There's a whole bunch of t-shirts and sweatshirts items, 53 of them that are going end of life over at Weavers. They won't be available anymore. So if you have any you want to get, go get them now. Head over to Weavers to get them. Folks, until next time, we'll see you here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.